wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Those whom God struck dead. Let me suppose that you were in a country store, and a man was blaspheming God's holy name, and then an electric storm came up and lightning struck that man dead. Would you need anyone to tell you who it was that smote him dead? And if you ever took the name of the Lord in vain, wouldn't it make you think about yourself? My subject is those whom God struck dead. Let us then see in the Bible those who were so smitten by God and what it was that so angered God. This should cause us to fear the living Almighty God of heaven and be warned of those things which bring his stroke of death. First, let us remember that the breath of every man is in God's hand, as the Bible says. God, in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified? And again it says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Neighbor, God's stroke of death is still suddenly laid on men. None of us can defy it, but we can so live that such shall not be our hopeless death. Of some the Bible says, and the Lord struck him, and he died. Our first case is Korah. Moses spoke of his death as being different from the common death of all men and as being occasioned because he had provoked the Lord. So his was clearly a case of one whom God struck dead. His death was so frightful, all Israel fled in terror and feared lest they too should so perish. For the Lord opened the earth and Korah fell into it, and then the earth closed on them. The crowd of men Korah had gathered against the Lord and against his faithful servants all perished with their leader in that awful death. And Korah, who talked so big, wailed in hopeless anguish as God struck him and the earth swallowed him up. Neighbor, are you talking big against the Lord? Are you belittling his faithful servants and making fun of his ministers? Remember Korah and repent ere God's stroke shall fall on you. The second case is Nadab and Abihu. The popular god of our day is so sugared down and tenderized that he is no more to be feared than is a dumb idol. But the living God of the Bible is a God of power, irresistible power. It is real wisdom in any man to fear the Almighty God. But Nadab and Abihu tried to usurp the place of Aaron, who was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. What a warning to those of today, those who claim to be Christ, and such a one as declares himself to be the vicar of Christ on earth. We know what lies ahead for all such, but if you, neighbor, are trying to save yourself by what you are or what you have done, then you are making a savior out of yourself and thus usurping the place of Christ and his atoning sacrifice. You are like Nadab and Abihu, provoking God to anger. Of such our Lord Jesus said, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Then we read of two captains and their 50 men. The king sent them to seize Elijah, the man of God. Those captains feared the king and his word, but they had no such fear for God, nor obedience to his word. Woe be to the man who does not tremble in fear before God and his word. At the word of the man of God, there fell from heaven the fire of God and consumed them. Then came along the third captain, but he acknowledged God's power and sought God's mercy, and he lived. Oh, that each one would be as that third captain. We next consider the well-known case of Pharaoh, of whom we read that he rose up before the Lord, but when God laid him low, he sank to the bottom of the Red Sea like a stone. Hard-hearted, defiant Pharaoh was like the big shots of our day. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Was his cry. And as Pharaoh drove his chariot into the Red Sea, God's trap for him, so they tear down the highway in their speed car until, as Pharaoh's chariot sunk in the mud of the sea, so their car piles up in a field, a bloodstained wreck, and the proud boaster is silent in death. As certainly as we have Pharaohs today, so we have such happenings, for the living God accepts every challenge. Neighbor, hear my good advice. Quit all that big talk and repent and humble yourself. Then God will lift you up and not smite you down as he did Pharaoh. Down in Egypt there was a night that will never be forgotten, for in it there was such a wail of anguish that got louder and louder as an angel of the Lord went up one street and down another, entering certain houses. None could resist his entrance, nor his smiting sword, which he plunged into the heart of every firstborn son. When the news was carried a short time before of how there was safety only as a spotless lamb was slain and the house was sheltered by blood, some mocked. Others tried something else, while others just let the time slip by and neglected to take action. And so it is today. God warns us of his certain judgment for our sins. He tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, alone can shelter us. And he calls us to trust in his Son, and he will spare us. But some mock at judgment to come. Others try the way of their religion. Others have their own ideas while they neglect God's great salvation. And this old world is about to resound with a wail of anguish greater than even on that night in Egypt, as the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, not just one angel, in flaming fire taking vengeance. And woe be to those who are not sheltered by his blood. Neighbor, be sure your faith is in Jesus and in that you are holding up to God as your only hope of divine mercy, the blood of Jesus. In the early chapters of the Bible, we read of two brothers, Ur and Onan. Of each one we read, and the Lord slew him. Why? They had corrupted the marriage relationship. And the God who said marriage is honorable all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, he smote them dead as a warning to all who trifle with that God-appointed relationship. What a warning to this wicked and adulterous generation. Then there was Nabal. Fool was his name, and folly was with him. He was the fool that refused to recognize the righteous claims of David over him, and he died a most unusual death, for his heart became a stone. Everyone is a Nabal who does not recognize the claims of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and who will not confess him as their Lord, nor trust him as their Savior. Neighbor, don't be like that fool Nabal. Then in Babylon, that world ruler Belshazzar made his big feast and mocked God by defiling his holy vessels and drinking wine in them. The handwriting on the wall gave God's verdict, and the stroke of God executed it. Neighbor, don't defile sacred things. God gave you that wonderful body of yours. Don't abuse it. Life is a divine endowment. Don't throw it away in worldly pleasures and sinful habits. The Lord's day is for the Lord. Don't desecrate it by selfish plans and ungodly pursuits. No wonder there's so many Sunday wrecks on the highways. It wasn't just that they failed to see the highway stop sign. They failed to read the handwriting on the wall. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And when we turn to the New Testament, we still see those whom God struck dead. To reveal this as unchanged, our Lord Jesus told us in a parable of one to whom God said, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, pretended to do what they didn't. They lied to God, and God smote them dead. They fell down dead, as many are doing today. Neighbor, are you pretending to be what you are not? You profess to be a Christian when you've not been born again? And are you making promises to God which you never keep? You have lied to God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Then there was King Herod. He had a bad history of killing James the Apostle and trying to kill Peter. And yet when people called him a god, he thanked them and gave not God the glory. Instantly, an angel of the Lord smote him, and worms came all over his body and finished up the job. Are you a Herod? You escaped death by a hair. Did you give God the glory? You recovered from that heart attack. Who got the praise, the doctor or God? By now, as we have seen case after case, I do hope we have all seen ourselves. Neighbor, do you cry? I deserve to be smitten dead as much as any of those men, for I'm so like each one of them. If you thus react in the spirit of true repentance, then come with me to see just one more man smitten dead by God. Come with me to Calvary. See that holy man on that middle cross. Men lashed and clubbed that thorn-crowned sufferer, but man could not take his life. Then there comes the darkness, and God breaks forth upon him in fierce anger. Blow after blow from Almighty God fall on him till he wails in agony. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. And then in death he cries, thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Yes, God smote him dead, sheathing his sword of judgment in his holy breast. What for? Neighbor, it was for my sins that he was stricken and smitten of God. I was a Korah, a Nabal, a Herod, yes, the whole group of them. But Jesus Christ took my place, and he bared his breast to receive the death blow of God that I deserved. And now I'm sheltered. He died that I might live. No wonder I love him and want to tell the whole world of my wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he arose from the dead. And now, from his throne in heaven, he's watching you. As I'm telling you of him, will he see you? Fall on your knees before him and say, Lord Jesus, I thank thee for taking my place and dying for me. Will he see you open your heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior? I hope he will. Neighbor, I have a confession to make. Will you take my hand? And as I make it, will I hear you say, and me too, preacher. As I review those in the Bible whom God struck dead, as they did deeds that so provoked his wrath, I go back over my past life. I see myself in deeds of sin. Surely I deserve to be smitten dead for my wicked sins. Do you say, and me too? I am amazed at God's mercy to me all my life. Then, when I come to Calvary and I behold that lovely man, Jesus of Nazareth, God's holy son, and he smitten by God in death, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes to see him as my substitute Savior, bearing my sins. In him I see the fullness of God's grace to me. My rebellion against God is subdued, and my heart goes out to his beloved son as I cry, Lord Jesus, with all my heart, I thank thee for dying for my sins. And with all my body, soul, and spirit, I bow at thy feet to be my Lord, as I now want all my life to be so dedicated to thee, it will speak louder than words, that I do thank thee, and I do love thee, as my all-sufficient Savior, and as my living Lord. Amen. And do I hear you whisper, and me too, preacher. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.